भगवते वासुदेवाय। शृण्वतां स्वकता कृष्णः पुण्यश्रवणकीर्तना हृद्यन्तस्तो ह्यभद्राणि विदुनोति सुहृत्सताम्। कृष्णा हु प्यूरिफाइज बाय द प्रोसेसेस ऑफ हियरिंग एंड चैंटिंग, who is the benefactor of the devotees who hear about him, enters the hearts of the devotees and destroys their sins. Yasya khilami vahabi sumangalai vacho vimishra gunakarma janmabihi prananti shumbhanti punanti vaijagat यास्तद्विरक्ताशवशोभनामताः। All sins are destroyed and all good fortune is created by the Supreme Lord's qualities, activities and appearances, and words that describe these three things animate, beautify and purify the world. On the other hand, words bereft of his glories are like the decorations on a corpse. शृण्वतां गृणतां वीर्यान् युद्धामानि हरेर्मुहुः यथा सुजातया भक्त्या शुद्धेन्यात्मव्रतादिभिः। One who constantly hears and chants about the activities of the Lord which can destroy sin purifies his soul by that bhakti. One cannot achieve such purification merely by observing vows and performing Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Shrinvanti ghayanti grananty vikshanasah swaranti nandanti tavehitam janah taeva pashyanty chirena tavakam bhava pravaho paramam padambujam. Persons who constantly hear, sing, speak, remember and sing to others about your activities, they alone, without delay, are able to see your lotus feet which destroy the influence of material existence.
Hare Prims Goho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sri Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gaur Gopida Shama Pandora Radha Kudda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadvip Dham Ki Jai, Ganga Jamuna Tulasi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai, Go Premanandi, all glories to the Sam of devotees, all glories to the Sam of devotees, all glories to the Sam of devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamane Namaste Saraswata Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtachadisha Tadane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhavam Canto 11 Chapter 2 Verse 45. After what point was it? Which page did they come to? Up to? Oh, just only there. What's well? So no more pages. Anyway, okay. Okay. Down there. Okay. Anyway, translation, Sri Havir said, the most advanced devotee sees within everything the soul of all souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Consequently, he sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord and understands that everything that exists is eternally situated within the Lord. Okay, just continuing. A pure devotee is completely free from the tendency to enjoy things separately from the Lord's service. He does not see anything in the universe as unfavorable because he sees everything as the expanded potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a devotee's purpose in existing is to give pleasure somehow or other to the Supreme Lord. Thus, everything that a pure devotee experiences moment to moment increases his ecstatic loving desire to satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord. The three modes of material nature torment the conditioned soul who absorbs his mind in the separated material energy of the Lord. The functions of this separated energy, Bhinna Prakriti, is to take the living entity away from the reality, which is that everything is within Krishna and Krishna is within everything. Being covered by gross ignorance, the bewildered conditioned soul believes that only the objects of his own limited vision actually exist. Sometimes such foolish persons speculate that if a tree falls in the forest with no one to hear it, there will actually be no sound. The conditioned souls do not consider that since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is all-pervading, there is no question of no one's hearing. The Lord always hears. As stated in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Sarvata Srutumaloke, the Supreme Lord hears everything. He is Upadrashta, the witness of everything. In this verse, the word Bhagavatottama, the most advanced devotee, indicates that there are those who are not gross materialists, but who are not the highest devotees. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, those who cannot properly distinguish between devotee and non-devotee, and those who therefore never worship the pure devotees of the Lord, have been known as Kanishta Adhikaris, devotees on the lowest stage of devotional service. Such Kanishta Adhikaris engage in worship of the Supreme Lord, especially in the temple, but are indifferent to the Lord's devotees. Thus they misunderstand the statement by Lord Shiva in the Padma Purana, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam Param Tasmat Padartaram Devi Tadiyanam Samarchanam. O Devi, the most exalted system of worship is the worship of Lord Vishnu. Greater than that is the worship of Tadiya, or anything belonging to Vishnu. Srila Prabhupada comments on this verse, Sri Vishnu is Satchidananda Vigraha. Similarly, the most confidential servant of Krishna, the spiritual master, and all devotees of Vishnu are Tadiya. The Satchidananda Vigraha, Guru, Vaishnavas, and things used by them must be considered Tadiya, and without a doubt worshipable by all living beings. Typically, the Kanishta Adhikari is eager to engage his materialistic qualifications in the services of the Lord, mistaking such material expertise to be the sign of advanced devotion. But by continuing to serve the Supreme Lord and the devotees engaged in propagating the Lord's mission, the Kanishta Adhikari also advances in his realization and comes to the stage of dedicating his activities to helping more advanced Vaishnavas. Even such Kanishta Adhikaris can help ordinary living entities in their association, since at least the Kanishta Adhikaris have faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because of this faith, the Kanishta Adhikari gradually becomes inimical to those who oppose the Lord. As he gradually becomes more and more inimical to those who hate the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and becomes more attracted to friendship with other faithful servants of the Lord, the Kanishta Adhikari approaches the second class stage called Madhyama. In the Madhyama stage, the Vaishnava sees the Lord as the cause of all causes and the chief goal of everyone's loving propensity. He sees the Vaishnavas as his only friends within this morbid world and is eager to bring innocent people within the shelter of Vaishnava society. Also, a Madhyama Adhikari strictly avoids associating with the self-proclaimed enemies of God. When such an intermediate qualification becomes mature, the concept of supreme qualification begins to present itself. That is, one comes to the stage of Uttama Adhikari. A Kanishta Adhikari guru, one who simply is simply attached to performing religious ceremonies and worshipping the deity without appreciation for other Vaishnavas, especially those who are preaching the message of the Lord, will especially appeal to persons interested in the dry cultivation of knowledge. As the living entity develops mundane piety, he proudly devotes himself to regulated work and nobly tries to detach himself from the fruits of his work. Through such regulated, detached work, knowledge or wisdom gradually arises. As knowledge or wisdom becomes prominent, the pious materialist becomes attracted to altruistic and charitable work and gives up gross sinful activities. If he is fortunate, he then becomes favorable to the transcendental devotional service of the Lord. Desiring a mere intellectual understanding of devotional service, such a pious materialist may seek shelter at the feet of a Kanishta Adhikari. If able to advance to the Madhyam qualification, he then becomes attracted to a Vaishnava actively engaged in preaching Krishna consciousness. And when fully mature on the platform of intermediate devotion, he becomes attracted to the Mahabhagavata level and is awarded a glimpse of the exalted position of the Mahabhagavata spiritual master by the grace of Krishna within his heart. If one gradually goes on in the devotional service of the Lord, one becomes established as a Paramahamsa Mahabhagavata. At this stage, all of his actions, movements, and engagements in preaching are dedicated solely to the satisfaction of Krishna. The illusory potency Maya has no power to throw or cover such a purified living entity, and Upadesh Amrita, Srila Rupa Goswami, has described the stage of life as Bhajana Vigyam Ananyam Anya Nindari Sunya Hridam. A Mahabhagavata, being empowered by the Supreme Lord, Yogeshvara, is endowed with the supernatural power to inspire and give success to the Madhyam Adhikari who follows in his footsteps, and to elevate a Kanishta Adhikari gradually to the intermediate platform. Such devotional power springs automatically from the ocean of mercy found within the heart of a pure devotee. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur points out that a Mahabhagavata has no desire to inflict punishment on the enemies of the Lord. Rather, he engages the Madhyamakaris and Kanishta Adhikaris in preaching work to purify the polluted mentality of the inimical souls who are falsely imagining the material world to be separate from Krishna. There's still another four and a half pages, so anyway. So this is a section. It's about the different types of devotees. Now, Maharaj Nimi asked about what are the symptoms of advanced devotees, middle devotees, and neophyte devotees. That is the Uttama, Madhyama, and Kanishta. So this is, of course, useful because by knowing the characteristics of the different types of devotees, we're able to advance. Because here we find the definition of the Madhyama is a person who is able to distinguish different types of people, different types of devotees, and people who are not devotees. And if he cannot do that, he can't advance because he's not on the Madhyam platform. So the definition itself includes a hint to us that we have to at least come to the Madhyama stage in order to distinguish different types of persons. However, Javier actually starts at the top instead of starting from the Kanishta, then going to the Madhyama, and then going to the Uttama. He goes to the opposite and he starts at the Uttama, and then goes backward. And later on again, he talks about the Uttama again. So the Uttama is the highest devotee. And this particular verse describes him as seeing everything in the Lord and the Lord in everything. Now this is also some description of persons who were not exactly devotees. Those who may be Paramatma yogis may also see the same thing. Everything in the Lord and Lord in everything. As in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 6, for instance, which is quoted here in the purport. Or we'll see even in Isopanishad, says the same thing. He sees the Lord everywhere, etc. Or in chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita, talking about the sthita pragya, he sees everything equally. Or one who sees the brahmana and the dog and the dog eater and everyone else as, and the pious brahmana as sama, etc. So they look quite similar, the descriptions, but actually they're not. Because this particular verse, though it talks about seeing inside all living entities, etc., it's related to Bhagavan, Bhagavan Bhavam. One relates all the living entities, not to Paramatma, not to Brahman, but to Bhagavan. So he never forgets, and of course this is talking about the Bhagavata Uttama, it's talking about the topmost devotee of the Lord. So we can never think that he has given up his idea of thinking of the personal form of the Lord, now he's becoming more impersonal or whatever. Though it looks like that because he sees everything in the Lord and the Lord and everything, it's like all undifferentiated or whatnot, but not so. So actually Jiva Goswami has written some commentary on this, and Vishwanath as well, of course. And in these commentaries, they say that the prime example of this are the gopis, because they're the topmost devotees. So they see everything in relation to the Lord, even if it isn't in relation to the Lord. Of course, everything in Vrindavan is in relation to the Lord, but when they see the trees, even though the trees actually cannot speak, and they are of lower consciousness than the animals, and the animals are lower consciousness than the human beings, they attribute everything to having the highest rasa and highest prema for the Lord. So therefore, the trees are weeping in great prema with sap coming out of their stems, etc. like that. Or they're smiling because the flowers are blossoming, or their hairs are standing on end because the leaves are fluttering like this. Or they're offering their fruits and their flowers and bowing down to the Lord. Or the water is in love with the Lord, or the tree, or the rocks are melting out of prema for the Lord, etc. So definitely, of course, everything in the spiritual world is spiritual, and they do have some love, but they're not on that same level as the human forms. Even the animal forms are not considered to be on the same level, so though we like the cows and the deer and the birds, whatever, still, they don't have the same experience as the cowherd boys or Nanda and Yasoda or the gopis or the servants or anyone. It's a much lower level, but the gopis will give them the highest platform and say they're the highest and we want to be a tree or et cetera like this. So in other words, they see everything in terms of that that prema for the Supreme Lord. You know? We see, of course, something similar in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in Puri. When he would see the cloud, then he would immediately think of the color of Krishna. When he saw the sand dune, then he saw Govardhan Hill, etc. So that's like in the material world, the great devotees in prema. Then they also see everything, even in this material world, which is not even the spiritual world. They see that in terms of prema. And even in relation to that, they'll see the demons as devotees, which sounds a little difficult because generally as Madhyamadikaris we see demons as demons and we don't want to associate with them. But for the Prem Bhakta, he's looking at the demon and he's thinking somehow this is also pastime of the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord's also in his heart and inspiring him somehow or other. And ultimately, so he sees everything, even the demons, in terms of prema. So therefore, he has no hatred of anyone in that sense. He sees everybody as equal. Everybody's having great prema. So it's on a very elevated level. He's seeing equality, not just they're all spirit souls or like this, or everybody is Brahman, or Paramatma is pervading everyone. It's not even an intellectual thing. It's just out of great bhava for the Lord that they see everything in terms of that bhava. And so it permeates all of their vision. So, of course, in the spiritual world, everything is spiritual anyway, so it's not such a problem. But in the material world, those devotees in prema also see everything in relation to the Lord. And so even the demons and the everything, material objects also change for that devotee, and that he sees them in terms of spiritual vision. So that is what happens to the Uttam Adhikari. For that reason, because he makes no distinctions in this material world, then There's no necessity of doing anything because everything is the spiritual world already, even the material world. So therefore, that idea of preaching is not so much prominent. So that is why we say that Uttamadhikari doesn't make distinctions of a non-devotee and devotee. So therefore, he doesn't really preach so much because of that. So there's a good reason for that. Of course, Jiva Goswami also says, that's so, but at the same time, some Uttamadhikaris do make distinctions, like Narada Muni, and he preaches, and he chastises the demons and whatever, or the offenders and whatever, maybe even curse them or whatever, and he blesses the devotees, so he makes some sort of distinction also. So the Uttamadhikari can do that, but often they may not. So they may simply be absorbed in the pastimes of Krishna and see everything in the material world in terms of that. So what is there to do? What is the preaching? Everyone's a devotee already. So therefore, it is maybe a little rare to find Uttamadhikaris who actually do preaching work. But it also happens. By the will of the Lord and the inspiration of devotees, sometimes they will do this. So anyway, it's a very exalted position. And therefore rare. In the Nectar Devotion, actually, Rupa Goswami, when he makes one reference there, then he considers that even the Madhyamadhikari, even that definition would apply to the Bhav Bhakta even, because he still makes some distinctions. So therefore, the Madhyamadhikari, though it's more or less from the beginning of our bhakti, where we talk about pure devotion, Anya Abhilashita Shunya and Sadhana Bhakti, this is after the Kanishtha, because the Kanishtha doesn't appreciate devotees at all. So when we're applying this devotion, the Uttam Bhakti definition of Anya Abhilashita Shunya, and obviously it implies that one has got mercy of devotees and etc., and one is associating with devotees and carrying out Sravanam, Kirtanam, etc. So he's associating with devotees, so that's beyond the Kanishtha level already. So the Kanishtha is a lower level where they don't actually have association and they don't get knowledge consequently. So therefore, in one sense, it's not really pure bhakti because they don't know about this definition of, no other desire except the desire to please the Lord. They do have a good quality and they accept Krishna over or Vishnu over devatas and over material entities. And they'll probably accept the scripture, though they're not aware of all the details of the scripture. They have not a real understanding. So the good quality is they accept the Lord. And they're not offensive to the Lord also. They in no way offend. They don't commit aparads by saying the Lord is illusory or he's, Brahman is higher than the Lord, etc. So they worship the Lord in the deity form. The knowledge is a little bit ambiguous. So they're put on the Kanishtha level. So, in order to actually come to pure bhakti, then, we actually need association of devotees. And if we get that association, then which is going to be association with the Madhyama, then, as the purport explains, one can become a Madhyama. So that Madhyama, of course, we have these four qualities. He associates with the devotees. He worships the Lord. He avoids the demons, and he's merciful to the innocent people. He can preach to those who are not inimical to the Lord, and they may have a little faith or be neutral at least. So he acts in those four ways in relation to different people. And in relation to devotees, then he also has a certain distinction. So then he teaches those who are Kanishtas or lower level. He associates in a friendly way with the other devotees. We see in Nectar of Instruction, there's exchange of knowledge, exchange of gifts, exchange of food, six activities of a devotee. So it's done on an equal level, Madhyama to Madhyama. And for those who are superior, even if they're superior Madhyamas or they're Uttamas, the Madhyama will serve and follow his instructions and get instructions from him and get knowledge and instructions from him, get guidance from him. So that is the method by which the Madhyamadhikari advances, by following these principles. We see the Kanishtha can't follow really because he doesn't get the association, doesn't make the distinctions, etc. So he can't even treat devotees in different ways or whatever. But the Madhyama has that ability. His distinguishing power is not perfect, of course. But with whatever he has, then he gets, we say, the mercy of the Lord, so he gets a little intelligence, so he's able to distinguish different types of devotees and devotees from non-devotees, etc. The more one advances, the more accurately one is able to distinguish. We can say spiritual intelligence. Like Krishna says, I give you the intelligence by which you can come to me. So as we advance and we go through different stages, and gradually that devotee can be distinguished more finally different types of devotees. So if one is on Ruchi or Asakti, then he begins to distinguish who is got Ruchi, who has not got Ruchi, etc. In this way, the devotee has to use his discriminating power, also his intelligence to some degree, in order to advance. And of course, he's always in association of devotees to help him. And of course, as I said, then Rupa Goswami even puts some of the people in Bhav Bhakti on that stage who've actually seen the Lord directly. Still, they're kind of in the Madhyama stage. So they haven't got that complete vision of everything as the Lord yet. They're still looking at the material world and seeing things in terms of material world also. So therefore, we can say the Uttama is a very advanced stage where it's either very high bhava, which is turning into prema, or prema itself, where it floods the jiva with a completely different vision of the world in terms of prema. Everything is in terms of prema. So very advanced stage. That is also why Vishnuvas Chakravarti in Madhuri Kadambani says that, therefore it says Madhyamadikari, who is mainly the preacher, because the Madhyamadikaris are more common than the Uttamas, who are Prem Bhaktas, very rare, or upper Bhav Bhaktas, quite rare. And secondly, because they always make distinctions. So they're always trying to say who's the devotee, who's not the devotee, who's a neutral person, and who we can preach to. So they're enthusiastic for preaching because of that. Of course, also we have the influence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who, as the Supreme Lord, but also as the devotee of the Lord, having the mood of Radha, he's also very merciful to the fallen conditioned souls, particularly like the Aparadis, etc. So that mood is carried over into Lord Chaitanya's movement. So the devotees of Lord Chaitanya are also very enthusiastic to help the fallen souls, etc., like that. So as Madhyamadikaris, they take this principle of preaching to the innocent people quite seriously. At the same time, we also have the apara, don't preach to the faithless persons. So that is because you avoid the demons. And then you preach to those who are innocent or favorable some degree. You have a little bit of faith or whatever. So that's the general principle. But we see that Lord Chaitanya is so merciful. He says even the aparadi should get mercy. We have to help everybody. So he's very, very merciful and tries to save everyone, in spite of the fact that we said generally we don't, the people that hate the Lord and hate the devotees and hate devotional service, we should avoid them completely. But yet he says we should also try to help them. So he's, in that sense, he's Mahavadanya, very, very merciful. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains the way in which we can do that without violating or committing the aparad of preaching to the faithless persons is that we can let everybody hear the name of Krishna. So that's the preaching. It's also some preaching and not preaching. So they can hear the name. So even if they are aparadis, even if they let them hear the name, and somehow they can get benefit from that. The name is so powerful, they can get benefit from it. Now, Ajamil was not a devotee, but he's also not a demon. So he was neutral, and he had no aparads. So therefore, that hearing the name and chanting the name of Narayan had great benefit to destroy all of his karmas. If people are simply neutral or have no aparads, then of course if they hear the name of Krishna, very good. They can also get, we're not interested in just destroying karmas, but anyway, it has some great effect on them and helps purify them. But even the aparadis, by hearing the name of Krishna, they get great effect. Now, of course, generally, of course, aparadis and those people who hate the Lord don't get much advancement. But when the Lord kills them, like Vishnu kills them, they also don't go to hell. But when Krishna kills a demon, they get advancement. So Krishna is particularly powerful because he's very attractive. So it's explained in relation to Shishupala. He's an example of getting perfection by hatred, which is not how we should approach the Lord, but this is just what's his situation. And somehow he got perfection by that. How is it possible? Generally not possible, but Krishna is exceptional because he's most attractive. So if one hates Krishna because Krishna's all attractive, one gets absorbed in Krishna. And that intense absorption and hatred will lead to purification. With Rama or Narsimhadev, Hiranyakasipu and Ravana did not get absorbed in the beauty of Ramchandra or the beauty of Narsimhadev. But same Jiva as Shishupala, he got absorbed in Krishna and in Krishna's name. So he was always uttering Krishna's name, the rascal Krishna, rascal Krishna. And he kept on saying the name Krishna because it's also all attractive. So because of that repetition all the time, then it purified him in spite of his hatred. So that is the power of Krishna and his name, that it makes one repeatedly think of Krishna and chant his name, and therefore, in spite of their hatred, they get purified. So that is why when Krishna releases Sudarshan Chakra, at that time, all of his offensive mentality was actually gone. And so when the Sudarshan Chakra touched him, then he got prema. And then he went to the spiritual world because he was already purified. So therefore, Krishna's the name of Krishna in particular is very powerful. So therefore, even though we cannot directly preach to the demons and teach them Bhagavad Gita or things like that, or encourage them to chant the name and devotion, etc. We cannot do that. That's aparad. But let them hear the name of Krishna. And that is beneficial for them. It will affect the jiva there. And eventually the hatred and all the anartas will begin to dissipate because of hearing the name of Krishna. So this is a way in which the devotees of Lord Chaitanya carry out the preaching mission as madhyamadhikaris and help even the most fallen souls, the aparadis, etc. So therefore we assist the mission of Lord Chaitanya, who is Mahavadanya and wants to help even the aparadis in Kali Yuga, etc. So we have these three stages here. This is only the first one that's mentioned here, and then later on have your discusses the other ones as well, the Madhyama and the Kanishta. Bhaktivinoda Thakur emphasizes that we have to get at least to that Madhyama level. So that's the important level to come to. So that's actually the stage of following Rupa Goswami's definition of Anya Abhilasha Shunya, etc. And before that, it's the Kanishta who just worships in the temple, whatever like that. So, as explained in the purport, it's a stage, Kanishta is a stage, and it can lead to the, it's favorable for leading to the Madhyama stage, as long as there's no aparads, etc. But there are also people who do worship the Lord as tradition, but they have a different type of mentality. So it is apparent bhakti. And they may also get Vaishnava, what it looks like Vaishnava initiation. They get some Vishnu mantra from a guru or some Krishna mantra from a guru, and they're worshiping their deity of Vishnu or Rama or Krishna or whatever. So it's all the Vaishnavas. But they're not actually in a bona fide Vaishnava sampradaya. And most likely, their goal is finally to give up that worship and merge in Brahman. So they're apparent Vaishnavas, but they're actually covered over impersonalists or whatever like that. And that's because of tradition. It may be a smarter tradition they're in, and the smartest ultimately tend towards Shankara's philosophy and into merging into Brahman, etc., and that the deity is a temporary measure. So they may be very dedicated to worshiping their deity of Vishnu or Krishna or whatever, but ultimately their idea is completely different. So that's the offensive mentality. Not good at all. So the stage where you're Kanishta and you don't have that mentality, but you're just limited in your knowledge, okay, that's a better stage. And one can advance more easily from that to the Madhyama stage. But if one doesn't come to the Madhyama stage, again, it's not very, one cannot advance very much by simply worshipping the Lord without proper knowledge. So faith in the Lord is necessary, plus we need that knowledge, sambandha gyan, etc. And then we can come to the level of pure bhakti. So we do that through the association of devotees. If the Kanishta gets the association of devotees, then he can come to the Madhyam platform. Then he can actually practice pure bhakti. Then he can get to prema. But if he doesn't get that association, then he can't come to the next level of Madhyama. So it's not automatic that you just advance and advance. One needs the mercy of devotees practicing pure bhakti. That is the Madhyamas, or if in rare cases, the Uttamas. Okay.
Raja, this Madhyama stage, by going back to Godhead, is it that only Uttamadhikari devotees can go, or Madhyama, who is it?
Well, they would have to get to the Prema stage somehow, so they have
Madhyama,
to
Madhyama, Prema? Uttama. Like we have any Prema and Madhyama and Prema?
Yeah, so they have to get to Prema. They have to become an Uttama. In other words, Madhyamas still have anartas. And even Bhav Bhaktas have anartas, so technically you cannot go to the spiritual world if you only have Bhav Bhakti. You're not complete yet. It's like the unripe fruit or something like that. So there's still a few anartas there. So one has to get completely purified.
One
of course, we have this the Kripa city where the Lord can say, okay, forget about it. Just, okay, go to the spiritual world. And they give them prema anyway, even though they haven't advanced. But they end up with prema anyway. So it's not that they go to the spiritual world. They still got their anartas. If by mercy they go there, then the Lord has removed all the anartas and they got prema. So in any case, you have to have prema, whether it's the mercy of the Lord or through process of sadhana, then bhava, and then to prema, either way.
You mentioned that only there may be a very few Uttamadhikaris now in the world.
Yeah.
Because everybody goes Uttamadhikari, they won't preach. They'll be sitting quiet. They'll be seeing everything, even demons as devotees.
Yeah, yeah. Well, of course, that's why the Lord empowers the Madhyamadhikari. So he's empowered by the Lord. Now he may not be the purest person, but he's empowered. The Lord gives him the privilege of giving out his mercy to everybody, and that is why the Lord is very. We can say it's a sign of the Lord's affection because he empowers the devotee. He gives him the right to choose who to give mercy to, etc., in this material world. And he's very affectionate to them because they're doing his work in one sense.
The Karmi world, we have this graduate, undergraduate, PhD level. But in this spiritual category, it's subtle. We can't just tell that this devotee is Madhyamadhikari or is a Kanishta. So externally, we can't judge.
Well, that's why these things are here, so we can make some distinction. It's not absolute, and one can shift. It's not one is fixed in one category. But unless we do make distinctions, we can also not advance, because we maybe think we're the highest, but we're the lowest. But at least the Madhyama can to some degree distinguish between the different things, and therefore he can advance because he knows who is lower, who is higher. He knows how to give respect properly. He knows how to teach the people who are lower, etc. So he can advance nicely because he knows how to treat people in different ways.
Who'll certify it? Who'll certify that this devotee is in this category? Or
Who certify
the devotee is in this level?
Categorize.
Yeah.
We have
schools,
to look
we
at
have
the
teachers and principals.
Well, we have to look at the qualifications given here. And generally, as I say, if we're in ISKCON, we should be at the Madhyama level. So it's only a matter of which stage of Madhyama, that's all. Because before that, they're not even associating with devotees. They're just worshipping in their house someplace. So obviously, that's a different category completely. So those who are seriously practicing devotion and who are associating with devotees and take initiation and are studying the scriptures, obviously they're not much different levels. So they're Madhyamas of some sort. Maybe low Madhyamas, then maybe higher Madhyamas.
Maharaj, can a Madhyamadhikari get mukti? He cannot get, of course, he cannot be Prema Bhakta. But
why would you want mukti? Because the ride mukti, say, is useless, it's like hell, etc. So they wouldn't want it. But if one comes to bhava stage, then one is automatically liberated because one destroys ahankara in the bhava stage. So now, technically, they're liberated, but they don't want liberation as such because they've seen the Lord also. So that's more attractive to them. But it says if one does nama bhas, one can get up to liberation. Well, even someone like Ajamil, because he destroyed all his karmas, technically he has no more karma, then he can get liberated. But though he's not a devotee also, see. So that's why if one is doing nama bhas, generally you cannot get prema because we're not aspiring for prema.
About preaching to faithless, now sometimes we may be inspired by examples of Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur preaching to Jagai and Madai, and we may force even atheists or someone to take the name of Krishna. So how do we understand that example and the ninth offense?
Well, we see that when they did so, then they got they got things thrown at them, etc. So that's what may happen also. You try to preach to the, like in communist Russia, they tried to preach and then they got thrown in jail also. So I mean, that's the result. We get a lot of problems when doing that, and whether they, maybe it's not a good influence on them, either they never get affected by that, they just hate you more for that, so may not have a good response. In that case, however, there was the Nityananda. When Lord Chaitanya came and he was going to punish them, then Nityananda showed great mercy to them. So then Lord Chaitanya became merciful also. So there is a chance, of course, that even preaching to them, there may be some good effect. But generally, we follow that principle. We avoid those who are very inimical and instead just let them hear the holy name. That's all. And that's all. Don't preach to them more than that. Yeah.
If you take from Madhyamadhikari, can we go back? Or Uttamadhikari is the top, he's in Prema level. Unless I take initiative from Prema level, I can't go back home, back to God.
But then, as I said, that's in the Uttamas usually don't preach, so therefore you're stuck. So therefore, that's why Vishnu Chakravarti says that the main preachers are the Madhyamas.
Then they won't be going, nobody will be going back to God.
Why not? Because they're simply delivering the message of Krishna. And of course, it may take many lifetimes anyway. So eventually, maybe in one lifetime, you get to Nishta. Next lifetime, you get to Nishta part two. The next time, next lifetime, you get to Ruchi part one. The next lifetime to Ruchi part two. The next time to Ruchi part three. Next life to Ashakti. And then finally, one life you get to Bhava. By that time, probably you'll meet some devotee in Prema by that time. So if Krishna makes arrangements for all devotees, what is necessary for the advancement? And if there is no devotee, then internally the Lord also helps out. So in any case, the Lord has a solution for the devotees. And he gives them internal intelligence as well.
The Lord keeps a record, or who's keeping the record?
Well, he knows everything past, present, and future, so he doesn't need any records. Yes. Of the what? No. It's Bhagavad Bhakta. Everything's in terms of prema. Visharupa is an elementary vision and object of meditation for unadvanced yogis. Yeah, they're not even devotees yet. They're yogis. Yeah. In terms of prema, not in terms of, you know, power and all, you know, that sort of just pervading everything.
In terms of spiritual intelligence and material intelligence, whatever we are using for Krishna service, then our intelligence will be maybe spiritual.
Yeah. We can use our intelligence as long as our principle is, if we're practicing devotional service and we're trying to use everything for Krishna, then we can say, yeah, it's spiritual intelligence. Now, because we're not advanced, we can make mistakes. And our material and artists and our avidya can interfere with our intelligence. It may be there. But nevertheless, because our intention is pure, then the Lord also doesn't really mind that or whatever. It says there's fault in everything in the material world anyway. So the Lord doesn't mind the fault, but he looks at the devotion, the intention behind that, and that's what he values more than the whether it was done properly or improperly, whatever. He likes the devotion.
Then maximum, that is the knowledge, spiritual knowledge, it is related to Guru, Sadhu, Shastra.
Yeah, so yeah, our intelligence we have, and then also we try to do things in accordance with the higher intelligence, which is scripture. And then, of course, sometimes the scripture says this, the scripture says that. Well, what are we going to follow? Because there's two different things in the scripture. We don't know what to do. Sometimes the acharyas give a solution. They say, okay, this is what it actually means, and this is what you should do. As in the case of Arjuna in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, then he's saying, well, I should do this and this because of dharma or whatever like that. And then finally Krishna says, well, okay, but you're actually not that at all. You're Atma. That's a higher level. Jnana is a higher level. But then higher than just being an Atma is Krishna. As I follow the Lord of Krishna, everything is perfect. Then you're beyond Atma and you're also beyond dharma, etc. like that. So, therefore, the scripture itself is sometimes subject to interpretation also, whatever. So, generally, if we can get Acharya's verdict on that, fine. Anyway, we as much as possible, we try to follow scripture. So, Rupa Goswami says that we do not ban intelligence. We should use intelligence, but following the scripture. Follow the scripture. Take guidance from the scripture.
That means maximum bhakti scripture related to Krishna.
Yeah.
They think grahasthas are fallen and brahmacharis and sannyasins.
Yeah.
Even in karmi state, we say the one who is saffron, they think he's in the highest platform.
Yeah. Well, but that's external. Just like Lord Chaitanya says, oh, varnashram external, this external, that's external, whatever. So these are external things. They're helpful to some degree, but they're not perfect because you can always get the external appearances and internally also be impure. So that is not an absolute factor. So ultimately, Lord Chaitanya says, doesn't really matter whether you're a Sudra or a Brahmana or a Sannyasi or whatever. It doesn't really matter. If you know Krishna, then that's the deciding factor. So we see in Bhagavatam, for instance, many of the great devotees were kings. They weren't Brahmanas, and they weren't renounced. They weren't sannyasis. In fact, we'll see very few sannyasis here at all. Narayan, maybe we can say, is up sannyas level or whatever. But otherwise, they're all Vedavyas was a grihasta also, and he's an avatar of the Lord. So it's not that you have to be a sannyasi or anything. That's secondary. It's the realization of the Lord which is more important.
Mantra Shrimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada.